appreciate that this morning. Appreciate each one that's come this way by way of internet. And we appreciate these men this morning and what they've meant to us during this time. And appreciate them being faithful to help us. And they've been such a blessing to us. And we appreciate Sister Susan and her family and those that have been helping sing there in her home. And such a blessing. Such a blessing, and I'm so very thankful for them being willing to do what the Lord would have them to do. And I know sometimes maybe them being there in their home that maybe they don't get to feel like they would here in the church with everybody else being able to amen them. But us men, through this time, at different times while they're singing, we all have been stirred, and we've all said amen, and we've all said bless them, Lord, and I hope that you do that. I hope that you at your home, I hope that you just get in the service, and whether anybody hears you or whether they don't, maybe agree together as the scripture teaches us, and it'd be all right for you to say amen. This might be the time that the Lord's using to get you to practice, to say an amen, that when we come back to the house of God, we could get together and we could agree together on the Word of God. Thank God there's something to agree to in the precious Word of God. And it is that binds our hearts together and brings us to a unity in one body, and that being the body of the Lord Jesus. To be a part of that this morning humbles me, and I'm so very thankful for what God has done for us. I appreciate, again, being here today, and I hope and I pray that we'll be able to say or do something that'll be a help to you and an encouragement to you. Now, you pray for us for just a few minutes. I appreciate the services that we've been able to be a part of this past week. I told a brother last night, I was talking to him, And I've found myself finding different ways to be able to listen to these men. I got in the shower Friday, and I had a lot of things going on and didn't have a lot of time frame that I could sit down and listen to one of the messages that was posted that I was very interested in. And so I told him, I said, I just took the little sink there in the bathroom, and I closed up the drain, and I turned on that preaching, and I set it down in the sink so it would go out and I could hear it while I was in the shower. And I had a time there listening unto the word of the Lord, and it's amazing where that we can listen to preaching today in the time at which we live, and I'm thankful for that. Now, you pray for us for just a few minutes, and we'll try our best to get ourselves out of the way and give you that we feel like the Lord has laid on our heart. I had a thought the other night and the other day while we was listening to that message, and it stuck with me, and I want to try my best to deliver that unto you that we feel like God has given us this morning. Now, you pray. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read in several places this morning, and I hope that it'll be a help to you. Now, you listen as we read just a portion of Scripture. Genesis chapter 37 is where we'll begin this morning. And you pray for just a little while, and we'll try our best to give you that that we feel like the Lord has laid on our heart. Listen, the Bible here, you know this story well. Many of us that's read our Bibles very much at all. Brethren, you've read about Joseph and how that he was, come upon by many instances or tragedies, if you'd have it. But I want you to listen. I'm going to read one verse in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis now, and then I'm going to read a few in the book of Jonah. But I'll come back to that 37th chapter later on, hopefully. But in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, I want to read how that first verse it said, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, over in the book of Jonah, and I want to read to you just in that first portion there, and you pray that we'll be able to get everything lined up the way the Lord give it to us. Brother, listen, old Jonah, the Bible said here in Jonah chapter 1 that the word of the Lord had come to Jonah, listen, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. And verse 3 said, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into that ship to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Listen, and then the Lord sent a great wind into the sea and a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse number 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. I cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea to lighten the load of it. Listen, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Verse 17, after they had squirmed around a little while, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, and cried and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And verse number 6 of chapter 2, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. And verse number 9, Jonah said, but I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I'll pay that I vowed. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. Brethren, you listen. I just jumped around there a minute or two, but what's on my heart and what I'd like to try and stay around. God being our helper, is there's a difference in the downs. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Brother Bruce, there's a difference in the downs that we see in these two men's lives. Brother, listen. Brother Joseph, the Bible said, if you read your Bible, that he was, as a young man, his father's loved, loved above his brethren. And brother, listen, I don't know what it was that made Job, besides the fact that he is the only son of his mother, the other brethren is of the other mother. And Joseph was the son, listen, of his mother. And Israel or Jacob there I love Joseph so much that he made him that coat of colors. Many colors, the Bible said. You listen. And his brethren despised him because of that. I love that Jacob had unto him. And the Bible said, you pray for him for just a few minutes. The Bible said that Joseph, as a young man, began to dream some dream. Brother, listen. And you know how it goes. That he dreamed about there the first dream, the sheaves in the field. And hey, he told his brethren, he said, my sheaf rose up above your sheaf and was standing upright. And he said, and your sheaves stood round about my sheaf and made obeisance unto it. And they hated him the more. And brother, he dreamed another dream and told them about the sun and the moon being his mother and daddy, and the 11 stars being his brethren. And he said that they would bow down before him in obeisance unto him. And his brothers hated him, called him a dreamer. Brother, listen, despised him. Even his daddy questioned old Joseph's dreams that day. He certainly did. The Bible said that. His father rebuked him, and his brothers envied him. But it said, but his father observed the saying. You listen. And then I read to you chapter 39 and verse 1. And brother, you know how that the brothers despised him and decided that they was going to kill him. But Reuben, the firstborn, I said, we can't kill him. I said, but here's a pit. Let's just lay him down there. And then that band of men come, and they decided that the best thing to do was to sell old Joseph. Now you pray for me. I'm just giving you a little Bible right quick. And the Bible said that that those men that bought Joseph brought him to Potiphar's house, and that Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Brother, taken down there to Egypt. And Joseph's life, y'all know that well. That Potiphar heard word of his wife, told a lie on Joseph. And old Joseph was cast down into the prison. Yes, sir. And brother, the butler and the baker had dreams. And Joseph interpreted them. And the Bible said that when the butler 2 years later remembered Joseph, brother, that he could interpret dreams, that Joseph was finally brought up out of the prison house. And brother, you listen, it's going to take me a minute or two, but I'm not going to be in a hurry. I know some of you may have dinner planned, and some of you may have plans to go ahead and celebrate. And brother, you can come back later if you need to and listen to this, but I'm going to take my time and give you what the Lord gave me. Joseph was taken down, cast down in a pit, sold down into bondage, and cast down into prison. And every bit of that was not Joseph's doing. Brother, it was by the hand of somebody else today. Amen, it was. But old Jonah, and brother, the Lord came to him and said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach unto them people.
And Jonah decided differently than the Lord. And the Bible said he went down to Tarshish, and he paid his fare to get on a ship, and he got down in the ship, down in the sides of it, and the storm rose, and the tempest beat upon that ship, and the men cast him overboard, and he went down into the sea, and not only down in the sea, but eventually he went down in the belly of the whale. And if that wasn't good enough for old Jonah, the Bible said he went down underneath the mountains, and out of the belly of hell he cried. He went down. Old Jonah went down. There's a difference in these downs, though. They are. Now you listen. You'll say, preacher, what does either one of them got to do with us? Brother, I about heard enough. People are belly aching and complaining about the situation we're in. Amen. Brother Bruce, I didn't put myself in this situation. I didn't vote not to have church. I didn't say, hey, let's do away with congregation. It wasn't up to me. Brother, we've all been put in a situation that we just didn't like, so to speak. And you know what? You could sit there and bellyache and complain. And I'm sure that you're like me, and you've caught yourself at times doing just that. Complaining. I'm brother saying, and I'd even say this, you probably even question, brother, some of the action of the men of the church that we set up to represent us and to do what's best for the church. But I want to encourage you today not to be down and out. Old Joseph could have been down and out. Old Joseph could have said that everybody's against me. Don't nobody care for me. And Joseph had every right to complain and dispute and be upset, but I never see it in him. No, sir. No, sir. I'm run because it was out of his hands. I'm run. He didn't put himself into those positions. But because he was a dreamer, because God favored him, because God's plan in his life, and others were upset, brother, he found himself going down. Going down. You know what a lot of folks have done during this time of COVID-19? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. For 2 months, I wonder how many people that are members of churches, members of Mountain View maybe, members of Stoners or Harmony Grove or wherever, that have done absolutely nothing. Brother, but complained and questioned and wondered why this is going on. And what can we do? And they thought and they thought. Brother, but yet they've done absolutely nothing. Nothing. Yeah. And brother, that's what I see. You read the story of Joseph, and the whole time Joseph was going down, the whole time that Joseph was nonetheless touched by the actions of others, I don't read where his brothers did anything. Amen. I don't see where it said that they did anything. And brother, and the next time we read about them, old Jacob said, I've heard that there is corn in Egypt and we're starving. I want you boys to get up and quit doing nothing, so to speak, and get down to Egypt and get us some corn, thank God. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, brother. I wonder how many people, Brother Danny, has even got any corn during this time. I wonder how many people have been feasting off the manna and eating from the table of the Lord in the midst of this crisis. I'm going to tell you, I have been able to eat. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on those that have brought the corn and prepared the messages. Thank God. Amen. Thank God for them. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for tapes. Thank God for CDs. Thank God for the Word of God this morning. It's been good for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I've probably listened to more preaching in these last 2 months than I've listened in the whole of my life. Brother, sometimes 2 and 3 messages a day I've eat on. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. I think you can believe what you want to, but I believe there's been people that has been faithful to the church. They've come, but they've got at ease, and they've been starving to death. Amen. You say, preacher, it's the preacher's fault. I beg to differ. It ain't a lack of preaching that we're missing out on. Son, they've been some of the best preaching in the world broadcasted here lately. Amen, that's right. Thank God for it. And Brian, he said that they would come a famine, but it wouldn't be a famine. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God, but it would come out of the hearers, not hearing the Word of God. Amen. Doing absolutely nothing. Some people say, well, I'm just not as close as I once was. And, brother, it's because that you ain't going down to Egypt and getting you some corn. I know Egypt is a type and a picture of death, but that's exactly what you need to do. You need to die to self and eat of the corn, thank God. I'm going to say this. What it say over there? Except the corn of wheat or seed of corn or whatever, I can't remember exactly, fall into the ground and do what? Die, it says. Oh! Unless it die, brother, it can't bring forth fruit. Thank God, listen, the difference in the downs was that one was instituted by self and the other by others around him. Jonah's down was because of himself. Because he decided he was going to go against God and he wasn't going to do what God said. Sister so-and-so, I want you to sing a song today. No, Lord, not today. Why? I'll sing it next Sunday. I'll sing it in revival. Lord, I can't sing. I can't even carry a tune. Brother, you better be obedient and do what God wants you to do today. Amen. That's exactly right. Brother old Jonah said, I'm going to go against the Lord, and everywhere he went was down. Did you notice that? Down to Tarshish. That wasn't far enough, so he went down in the ship. That wasn't far enough, so he went down in the sea. And that wasn't far enough, so he went down in the fish. And that wasn't far enough, so he went down in the belly of the fish. And that wasn't far enough, so he went underneath the mountains. And last of all, he cried out from the very belly of hell, thank God. Amen. Yeah. You better be careful how you go down, is what I'm really getting at today. Amen. The circumstances around us, brother, they may get us in a down shape, or not in a shape, but let me say it like this, in a down place. Oh, Joseph went down to Egypt, and brother, he was cast down in the prison. But whoa, listen, just because of his circumstance, and just because of where he was at, it did not keep him from being obedient. Preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, read your Bible. What did Joseph do while he was in prison? Let me see if I can read it right quick. If I can find it. Listen. In the 39th chapter, the Bible said in the 20th verse, and Joseph's master, let me hold these out so they don't fog up. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. You might read that and say, preacher, it don't say he went down. It don't say that the prison was down. Well, go read about the butler and the baker. And yeah, and what it say about the butler, it said he was taken up and restored, which tells me that they were down. Amen. But when he was in prison, oh, Joseph could have laid on the bed and said, COVID-19's got me, and I can't worship God today. But he didn't. He could have said, they've quit letting us go to the church house, and I just can't worship no more. But he didn't. He could have said, everybody else is making mistakes, and I'm the only one that's right, and they ought to listen to me. But he didn't. What'd he say? But the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Even in his down place, the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy and give him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Listen, and old keeper put him in charge. You're going into chapter 40 and verse number 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph, give him a charge. I said, I'm going to put you in charge. And the Bible said that old Joseph went in and whipped them fellas day and night. No, that ain't what it said. Old Joseph went in and complained to them and said, look at what my brothers did, and now I'm in prison. Nope. The Bible said, oh, Joseph, serve those prisoners today. Amen. That's right. Served those prisoners. And they continued a season in the prison, in the ward. Yeah. Old Joseph could have got up and complained and bellyached and moped and groaned about and did absolutely nothing and never received anything of God. But what did it say? The Lord was with him. The Lord showed him mercy. And old keeper of the gates saw something on him, put him in charge. And instead of Joseph saying, look at me, I'm in charge, I'm this or I'm that, I'm the one that tells everybody what to do, the Bible said he just simply served them. Amen. I don't know what all that entails, Brother Bruce, but I wonder if that means like you did last week for Brother Jody when he run out of that water. I thought that's a blessing. Boy, I got a blessing on that all week long. And I know you probably didn't think much of it, but it blessed me that you're just willing to get up and go serving a little more water. Amen. That's what it takes, us a-serving one another. The Bible said, after supper being ended, that the Lord Jesus took off of his clothes and his garments and girded himself with a towel and got down and washed his disciples' feet. And old Peter said, not so, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And he said, if I wash not your feet, he said, you'll have no part with me. Amen. They're still in the part right then. Woo! Yeah! Brother, they're still in the part that was darkly shadowed. That was the glass darkly. Woo! But what did Peter say later? He said, I've come face to face with him. Thank God, aren't you glad of that? He said, we beheld him. Amen. Thank God, the Lamb of God, whose blood has cleansed us and made us whole. Thank God. Whoa, yes. Listen, Peter was beginning to understand what kind of down he needed to be. What kind of down he needed to be. I got some scripture I'm going to try to get to you if the Lord will help me. Brother, you listen. I thought about old Hannah. You listen, the Bible said there. In the book of 1 Samuel and the second chapter, it talked about old Hannah. And she was without child. And the Lord blessed her with a child. Y'all remember that? She is down at the altar. Thank God, aren't you glad you can find some strength down at your own altar? Brother J.O. said, when you get your altar built, put you some horns on it and hold out for the ride. Thank God. Amen. When you go to pray, how many of you grab hold of the horns of the altar? It'll make a difference. Brother J.O. told me that. Give me that little nugget when I was just a young preacher boy. He said, when you get you an altar built, son, he said, put you some horns on. I didn't know what the world he is talking about. He didn't tell me why. He didn't tell me how God would bless me. He didn't tell me about the scripture where it was. No, sir. But over the years, I figured it out that if I hold on to the horns of the altar and pray with all my might and give God everything I've got, he will direct my path today. Sure he will. Even in a down place. The Bible said that old Hannah, in the second chapter, that old Hannah prayed. And this is what she said. I want to read to you her prayer of thanksgiving. And she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. She said, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. And brother, you want to know what the horns are in over in Revelation? Read the whole Bible. You'll figure it out. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. She said, talk more so exceeding proudly. She said, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him all actions are weighed. And she said, the bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren had borne seven, and she that hath many children is wax feeble. She said, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. How the Lord maketh poor, maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the dust. How the poor out of the dust. Lifts the beggar from the dunghill and set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and has set the world upon them. He will keep his feet. How the feet of his saints, and the wicked will be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. And listen to this last verse. He said, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. What if Hannah, in chapter 1, what if Hannah would have sat at the house in her circumstance, Brother Danny? What if she had sat at the house and did nothing? Oh, but preacher, she went down to the church. She was allowed to go down to the church. She was allowed to go down to the temple there. You are too. You are too. Huh? What? Yeah. Listen, this building may be closed up and locked up through the week, and just a few people got a key, but this ain't where I come to pray. This ain't the church that I come to get things squared out with the Lord. No. But I meet the Lord at the temple there at the house. Yeah. And I believe that if you've wasted 2 months or a little over how long we've been, and you've done absolutely nothing, no studying, no praying, no searching for God, no looking for His face. Brother, you sat there and done nothing but complained about your situation. Or, right, worse than that, you've went away from God. And you've said, I'm going to go where I want to go. And I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to sit here and try to serve the Lord in this mess. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what old Jonah did. Listen, you may be in that shape. You'll say, well, I'm down, preacher. I'm down. I feel like I'm in the belly of hell. Well, I want to tell you what old Jonah did. What did old Jonah do there in the belly of hell? Listen, in the second chapter in verse number 2, and said, I cried, old Jonah, by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell. I cried, and thou heardest my voice. And at the last of Jonah's prayer, he said, but I'll sacrifice unto thee. He's still in the belly now. He ain't got out yet. He said, Lord, I'll sacrifice unto thee. Listen, it wasn't a sacrifice of lamb and goats. There wasn't none. It wasn't a sacrifice of turtle doves. He couldn't get one. But what was he going to sacrifice? With a voice of thanksgiving, he said, I'll sacrifice unto thee. And that ain't where he finished. And he said, and I will pay that I have vowed. What's that mean? If you are a member of Mountain View Baptist Church, I'm speaking to you in particular. If you're a member, your name is on the roll here. You made a vow to this church. When you joined the church, you made a vow to her. You said you would come and you'd support her. It's on our covenant. Said you'd support her not just with your being here, not just with your physical coming, but that you would participate not only in the worship, but in all the duties that are performed by the church. That you would give of self, your time, your money. That's a hard one. A lot of people don't like to hear that one, Brother Allen. They say, please don't mention that. It don't matter whether you like it or not, or I like it or not. It's in the Bible. People don't want, hey, you know what? Old Brother J.O. the other night, I listened to him. And you know what he said? He said, if you find yourself in a bad shape, in a low spot in life, and you find yourself down in the valley, he said, I want to tell you how you can get out of the valley. He said, you go find somebody that's down there with you and help them out. Amen. And he said, and when you get that one out, he said, Brother Bruce, go find somebody else and help them out. And then there'll be two on the upper side that can lift you out. Amen. You give and give and give, like Brother Jody preached last week, not of your abundance, but of yourself, thank God. That little old widow woman, it bothers me when people get upset when I tell them to tithe 10%, and I tell them the scripture talks about tithing, and that's what tithe means, is 10%. They get upset with me about 10%, and they say, well, I just don't agree with that. Okay, well, go to the New Testament then, since that's in the Old Testament. And that little old woman give everything she had. Huh? I mean, if you want to really question it, hey, it takes more than just showing up. And some people don't even do that. And how long has their names been on the roll, Brother Bruce? Lord, we got, I don't forgot how many, but we got hundreds that are on the road. Oh, man. Amen. I don't even know if I can count that high. I'm not a good counter. But we got hundreds that are on the road. And yet in Sunday school, we'll roll up and we'll have 60 or 70 or 80. And yet there's hundreds on the road. I know there's some that physically aren't able, but it's not counted in the hundreds that are those. We got young people that are well able to come to the house of God and show up for Sunday school. And I wonder if they're in the crowd of the absolutely nothing the last 2 months. Preacher, you're kind of getting on us a little bit. Well, I'm not getting on you, but if it's getting on you, then let it be. Listen, you'll say, well, what happened to old Jonah when he got to offering thanksgiving of his voice? Verse 10 said, and the Lord spake unto the fish,
and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You know what he did? He made him a way to go do what he said he'd do. To go and pay his vow, thank God. Amen. Old Hannah prayed thanksgiving unto the Lord because she had went down to the altar. She realized that the position of her heart needed to be in the position of God, and they need to line up one upon another. Jesus said in the garden, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but I want to line up and let thy will be done. Lo, in the volume of a book it is written that I come to do thy will, O God, is what it was said of the Lord. And what a great example. They sung that song earlier, and you know what it said in the song? Brother Bruce, it said, take my life. Make it what you'd have it to be. You better be careful. Bro, if you ain't willing to let God make it what he'd have it to be, you better not say it. But I'll say this, if you'll get willing, he'll make it something wonderful today. Amen. He'll make your life wonderful. It said in that song, I'm the child and you're my father. What's a child supposed to do to the father? Obey. In that song it said, I'm the clay and you're the potter. You ever seen a piece of clay at your house? Brother, get up and say, I didn't want the handle on this side. I didn't want you to put the spout right there. I wanted it somewhere else. No, a piece of clay just lets the potter work. Amen. Just lets the potter work. Listen, Proverbs, I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures, and I got so much. I got a couple pages, but I ain't going to get to all of it. I want to, but I don't feel like it's necessary. I'm going about as far as I can go. Listen, let me get right here to Proverbs, and I'll give you what I got right here. I guess the rest of it, all that digging and studying and getting them little nuggets out's for me. But you listen to what it says in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 19. Well, let me go to 18 first. No, I'm going to go up to 17 because it's so good. 17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Now, there wasn't no highways built back then, Brother Bruce. It wasn't talking about I-75 or Highway 41. That word highway, even though it was constructed together, meant a higher way. And this is what it said. It said the highway of the upright is to do what? To depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Hey, some people today get in the shape where that they think that they're the only ones that's got an opinion. Huh? And they think their opinion is the only one right. And they'll even try to justify it by Scripture sometime. I heard a man try to justify it by Scripture one time over there where the spies went out and spied the land. And only two come back. And 10 come back with a bad report and 2 come back with a good report. You remember that? You remember that? And the 2 came back with the good report, and the evil reporters, they won. I heard a man try to justify his opinion by saying, listen, it ain't always in the majority that's right. That's what he told me. This was the first church I ever pastored, and he told me that. And I said, well, you're probably right. It probably ain't always the majority that's right. But it don't mean that you're right. I said, and by you stating that shows just where your heart is. We've got to come humble. Listen, he said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Number 19, this is what I want to get to. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. What? The spoil, what is the spoil? That's all the riches. That's all the riches. He says it's better to be with the lowly, humble in spirit with the lowly, than to be haughty and uplifted in yourself and hanging around the spoil of the pride of the proud. Listen, Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. I learned a long time ago that it's a whole lot better for me to keep quiet on certain things. Had a lady one time come up to me at church. She said something kind of rude as we was shaking hands. And she said it to one of our other members, and you could tell it hurt our other members. And she made this statement. She said, "Well, I was thinking it, I might as well say it." And you might have thought I was wrong, but as the pastor of that church, I said, "No, ma'am, that's not correct." I said, "That's unbiblical." She said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Just because you think something don't mean you're supposed to say it." I said, "Matter of fact, a lot of times, a lot of things that you think should be kept to self. It can only bring pain and discomfort and hurt." Them brothers, they thought they was bigger and older and stronger and smarter than Dreamer, than old Dreamer Joseph. And they thought that their plan was right. We know what we'll do. We'll get rid of him. And the whole time that Joseph was away, we read of him working and doing for others in Potiphar's house, in Potiphar's prison. I mean, the guard, the head guard, put him in charge. And what did it say old Joseph did? He served them other prisoners. Served them. Served them. Served them. Take my life, Lord. Make it what you'd have it to be. I'm your child. You're my father. I'm the clay. You're the potter. You make me what you want me to be. I thought about Gideon. I thought we'd talk about Gideon a little bit. You can go read about him in the book of Judges. I believe it's the 6th and 7th chapter. Thought about old Ahab, old wicked King Ahab. Thought about him humbling himself there at the end, and the Lord preserving his life and said, "This wickedness will not come upon thee, but it'll come upon thy sons." And then I thought about the scripture that we've heard a lot during this time. And at first, listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess to you. When I first heard people quoting this and saying this is what we need to do, I kind of took offense to it because I thought, well, I thought I was doing what we're supposed to be doing. But in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know the scripture, "My people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." You know what it says. You've heard that. "We'll repent, get right with God." He said he'd hear from heaven and he would heal their land. And at first, I got a little offended about that because I thought, well, if you think that God has caused COVID-19, I got offended about people saying that. And I believe God set in motion the world. And everything that has happened is just in the motion of the world. I believe he set it in motion at the beginning. And things that have come has come because of the wickedness of man and because of sin, no doubt about it. And if you sit in that place, and that's a downward place, if you sit in that place and absolutely do nothing, you'll never reap the benefits of what God's got for you. You'll never enjoy the goodness of God. I found that the best place that I can be is down at the feet of Jesus. That little old woman with the issue of blood, I'll say this, and I'll bring my remarks to a close. I won't go through the whole story. Thought I'd mention that too. Thought I'd mention Matthew, where he said, "Whosoever humbleth is a little child." Thought I'd mention the Pharisee and the publican. I mean, I got a bunch of notes here on humbling and getting in the right spot. But I'll just mention the little woman with the issue of blood. She didn't receive mercy up around his neck, hugging him and kissing him and saying, "Look at me." But she found mercy down at his feet, down at the bottom, down where the hem of his garment was, down at his feet. You say, how do you know it was at his feet? Because the only place where I read where it talks about Jesus being clothed, talking about his clothing, it was in the book of Revelation. It said he was clothed down to his foot. I believe that's where that little old woman had to get, was down at his feet. And you know what she found there? She found strength. She found health. She found joy. She found peace. And after she received all of that and that virtue, you know what she did with it? She thanked him for it. And she told everybody about it. Thanking him, praising him, right there in the midst. With the voice of thanksgiving, cried I out of the belly of hell, Jonah said. And the next verse, the Bible said, and the Lord caused a great fish to vomit Jonah out on dry land. What a blessing this morning. What a blessing this morning. Again, we appreciate you of tuning in. There's a difference. There's a difference in the way you go down. There's a difference. There's a difference in the way Jonah went down. And there's a difference in the way old Joseph went down. And there's a difference in the way you and I today can get low, can get down. And it don't mean walk around with a mealy mouth and boy, woe is me. And back. That's not what God wants. You can rejoice and be humble. The meek in spirit, blessed are the meek. He's not talking about people with false humility. That bothers me when I see people get up and just falsely, you know, 10 minutes ago they was laughing and cutting up. And then all of a sudden they get up and they have a false humility. Woe is me and this and that. Hey, listen, the humility comes from the heart, not the mouth. God's not looking for people to follow him with their mouth. He's looking for people to follow him with their heart. And that if we'll do that, and I've got some great work to do to get there. I mess up. But I want to encourage you to repent today. If you've never been saved, I ask you to call upon the name of the Lord. And all they that call, the Bible said, shall be saved. Believe on him. Trust in him today as your Savior. We love you this morning. We thank God for you. Appreciate the opportunity of being in the house of the Lord. Again, I thought I was going to preach a while this morning. I thought I was going to preach about an hour or so, but I'm done. I've got everything out that I feel like the Lord would have us to. I got about another page and a half of notes, but I'll keep that to myself and study on that. We love you. We thank God for you. And I pray for you that if you've not done anything during this time, that you'll pick up today, right now. You say, well, I've wasted time. Well, we've all done that. We've all had a time or two in our life. We've all wasted years, wasted time. But you know what? You could sit there and complain about it and never get nowhere. Or you could say, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to do right today. And then tomorrow when you get up, guess what you can do all over again? Do right again. Ask God to help you with it. Die to self and get up tomorrow and go for God. It'll help you this morning. It will. It'll help you all the days of your life. We love you. We appreciate it.